Seated. Between the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, may my words be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every year at Easter time, when I go on Facebook, there is without fail someone who has updated their status to say Happy Zombie Day. And it always makes me feel very grumpy, and then I feel immediately very old. Present company accepted. That's a joke. Okay. Because mocking what Jesus did, rising from the dead, to me seems absolutely insane, because it is nothing, what Jesus did is nothing like a reanimated corpse coming after you to eat your brains. Now, don't get me wrong, like, I love The Walking Dead and a good zombie flick, even a B-level movie, but that is just wrong. We don't mock Jesus, okay? This is Jesus. Now, I think part of this is because people love death, not in like a macabre way, but people love death in the sense that it is absolute. There is certainty with this. What is dead is dead. So although when we experience death, we have grief and sorrow and mourning and that aching that we feel will never go away but eventually heals with time, at least we have certainty. This is why the resurrection of Jesus is so scandalous in kind of a Beyoncé way, right? The gospel that we preach in our words and our deeds as Christian people is scandalous because it causes outrage. It causes extreme reactions from people. It is unbelievable. People gasp and gawp at it. It defies what we understand to be natural law for something that is dead to come back to life. So our gospel, the two Marys and Joanna, the other women, journeyed to the tomb. It was dark, like it is for us. They're going to prepare Jesus' body with spices. It is clear that they are expecting to find Jesus very dead because they're taking spices, which were used to stop the body from smelling as people came to pay their respects, because they didn't have morgues with fridges and freezers back then, right? So seeing the body of a deceased loved one, for those of you who know, is so jarring. It can be so jarring because they don't look like themselves anymore. And then you think about the death that Jesus died. Well, he would have been almost unrecognizable. This was an incredibly brave and beautiful thing that these women were going to do. Imagine being one of them, and you get there, and instead of finding the body of your master and teacher and friend, finding two holy messengers dressed in like lightning robes, being all like, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why? Why do we do that? Why do we look for dead idols and the latest fad and images in pop culture to try and make ourselves feel better? Why do we try to fill that place in our hearts that only God can fill, when Jesus walked straight out of the tomb, which is also a room, into our hearts? That's what Jesus does, straight out of the tomb and boom, right there with you. So why do we do that? Why were these women going there? Why weren't they just chilling at home, watching the clock, and with that some kid in the background chiming in every half hour, being like, is it 3 days yet? It's like, shut up and sit down. It'll be 3 days when it's 3 days. Stop asking me. Now, the messengers are there because looking for life, looking for the living among the dead, that is the human MO. That is how we operate, right? We know death. And what we know the things that we know, that we're sure of, those are safe for us, right? Better the devil you know. Why do people say that? Better the devil you know. The things we don't know, now that's scary, that's not safe. So we don't want to go there, right? We don't want to go there. We don't want to imagine that this man is alive after everything we've just seen him go through. So the messengers, remember, he told you that he'd be betrayed and he'd be handed over and he'd be basically beaten up and crucified and then he would just rise again in 3 days. Remember all that cool stuff he taught you when you were on that epic journey with him for like the past 3 years? Remember all of that? Of course they didn't. Neither do we. How many of us, myself included, how many of us have had those moments in Bible studies or in classes where we've said, we're trying to quote something out of the Bible. I do this all the time. And quite often, just trying to communicate a concept that Jesus taught. Sorry, I'm getting a very dry throat. And our sentence ends something like, well, it's along those lines. I know it's in there. It's in there somewhere. I can't remember exactly, but it's in there somewhere. And you get the gist, right? That's how we try to explain it, because we forget those things. Excuse me. Put yourself in those women's shoes for just a second. What do you do when your Lord and Savior has been risen from the dead and you've just received a message from two heavenly messengers and your world is basically flipped upside down? You run home to safety, okay? These women turned, hightailed it, they returned home. If anybody has access to a glass of water, that would be amazing. These women hightailed it home to their community, to the people who are most likely to believe them, right? Hightailed it home to their friends, okay? Everyone had been traveling with Jesus, listening to his teaching. They go straight back there. We're going to have a short intermission while I just breathe. Jeanette, thank you so much. A heavenly messenger. Thank you. Okay. So now, put yourself behind closed doors in a place where the disciples are hiding out. So we've got the 11 disciples. Remember, Judas is already gone. The 11 disciples and others who traveled with Jesus. They're all hiding. They're all scared that they're going to be crucified next or taken to jail or beaten up in the streets. And boom, the doors fly open, and in come the two Marys, Joanna, and a whole host of women, spices flying everywhere, and they're just like, Mary turns around, she's like, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Huge confession. Everybody's like, what? There's like chaos. People are just like leaping up, coming around from sleep. What's going on? Where is he? The body's not there. What's going on? Hey, Michael, get in here. It's 3 days. He's up. He's risen. Mary has seen the Lord. Oh, my. No, wait a second, that's not what happened. There is an awkward sexist moment, ladies. We've all been there. It seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Who talks like that? An idle tale? Who talks like that? Nobody talks like that, not even then. Not the disciples. There is a word in that sentence which appears only once in the New Testament, leiros, and this is what it really means. It means trash, trumpery, a trifle, delirium, nonsense, a load of crap. It means the disciples turned around and called BS. That's what it means, okay? They said, what a load of rubbish. You ladies are crazy. Super sexist. It was not an idle tale, as the translators politely said. It was scandalous. It was so scandalous that the words that came out of the disciples' mouths in response to it could not be translated because they were too rude for the translators. That's what happened. They did not believe these women when they had all been traveling together in 3 years of Jesus' ministry. They'd heard him predict his death and resurrection. Now, was it because the people of the time thought that women were unreliable witnesses? Ouch. Were they unreliable, these women? Were they? These women who supported Jesus' ministry, chapter 8, 1 to 3, who watched Jesus' trial and crucifixion, 23:49, who witnessed Jesus' burial, 23:55, who went to the tomb in the morning to prepare his beaten and broken crucified body? Were they unreliable? No. No, they were not. So why, when witnessing and reporting the resurrection, were they considered unreliable? Because it is scandalous, it is so unbelievable. If dead people don't stay dead, it is zombie day, okay? That's not real. That doesn't happen, not then, not now. It's science fiction, it's bad science fiction. Even the people of the first century knew that was bad science fiction, okay? This is the scandal of Easter. You proclaim it and people mock it on Facebook because it's too hard to believe. It's too hard to believe. We are not meant to be believed as Christians. That is why being Christian is so hard. And yet we proclaim in our baptismal vows that we're all going to renew together around this font in moments to come. We promise that we will persevere in resisting evil and staying away from the devil that we know, because that is not the Jesus way. Being Christian can be incredibly hard. It can be incredibly hard to say, I have seen the Lord, and I have seen the Lord. Let me tell you, this lady right here, she's seen the Lord, all right? But we have to, because if you don't proclaim anything, nobody hears anything. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, hockey fans, yeah? Don Cherry. Think about it like this. This is for the mathematicians. The women proclaimed, if we think about it, the women and the apostles, right? There's 11 of them. The women go into a room, there's 11 guys, and they proclaim, I have seen the Lord is risen, holy messengers, he's out of the tomb, he's alive. One of them, Peter, gets up and goes to the tomb by himself. And what does he do? He peers inside. And we hear that he goes home amazed at what happened. He believes. Peter walks away believing. 81% did not believe. 9% believed. That's almost 1 in 10. I take those odds. That's why you have to proclaim. It's not just my job. It's not just the job of preachers. Oh no, we're all on the hook for this. So, as we move into the Easter season, I am urging each and every one of you to be brave like the women on that Easter morning, those reliable disciples of Christ. I want you to notice the small graces, the little resurrection moments in life. Because I know if I asked all of you to stop and think right now, a big resurrection moment in your life, you'd be able to get to it. I know I can. There are moments where something dies in us, around us, in front of us, and we think it's going to be the end of everything. And we look back on it, and we think, that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. And you can identify what the Lord was doing in hindsight. Take the time to notice those moments through this Easter season, and then I want you to come back to your safe place, to your families, to this community, and I want you to make a promise to yourself that you're going to tell someone in this community, like those brave women did. You're going to proclaim and tell them your testimony. You're going to come here and you're going to practice it here, and then begin telling people elsewhere in your lives about these little glimpses. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of not being believed? Are we afraid of being rejected? I'm afraid. I get afraid. Remember this. Jesus was rejected first. The first witnesses of the resurrection were not believed. But 9% of the people, 1 in 10 of the people that you speak to, that you proclaim to in some small way, will go looking for Jesus themselves. Some people just have to see for themselves. And that is how we spread the gospel, because we are part of the scandal of Easter. And I say hallelujah and amen to that. Amen.